Today's scripture is found in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, reading verse 23 and 24. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24. For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The word of the Lord.
Heard yesterday instead, together with the answer to the puzzle that should have been printed yesterday. Therefore, the puzzle that should have appeared yesterday is in today's Tribune, together with the answer of Wednesday's puzzle. The puzzle for today and the answer for the one that should have been printed yesterday is reprinted. There are some of us, for some of us who confuse very easily, we wouldn't even bother trying to figure that out. But there are some situations that are somewhat important for us to try to understand. Yet understanding can be far from us. Consider poor Christopher Columbus. He didn't know where he was going. When he got there, he didn't know where he was. And when he got back, he didn't know where he had been. There are many things that we don't understand. And in this age of information overload, most of us have learned to accept that. Though I imagine there are still those people who do want to understand a lot more than they need to understand. Like those people who, when they get something new or something special, they need to feel, or they have a need to understand how it works. And so this is particularly a guy thing, that we get something and we don't quite know how it works. And so even before we've actually used it, we take it apart to see how it functions. The Lord's table, communion, was the last act that Jesus did with his disciples before he died. He thought that this was important. He walked through it carefully and clearly so that they could understand what he was saying. Yet they still did not understand. But now, after Christ's death, we can see things more clearly. What Jesus meant when he instituted the Lord's table. And yet, there still may be confusion as to what it's all about. In our scripture reading, we heard Paul wrote about the observation or observing the Lord's table. My hope is that we see maybe a little more clearly its purpose. We can better participate in its instruction. One thing that the Lord's table was is a memorial. In verses 24 and 25 of 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" With both of the elements that Jesus was drawing and using, he identified, we observe these in remembrance of him. Memorials do a number of things. They attribute honor to special people. They commemorate significant deeds or events. They keep a memory alive. They serve as instruction for those who are uninformed. Jesus himself instructed us to keep this memorial. In taking the bread, we are to remember his body. That God became a physical man. And that his suffering was real. In so doing, he gave us a glimpse of the depth of the Father's love. What God has done for us in a way that we can understand or relate to in a fashion. We understand or we can envision to some small degree the pain that Jesus went through. In taking the cup, we are to remember his blood. Life is in the blood. The blood is what sealed this new covenant. This new arrangement that God was making with mankind. The words New Testament literally means new covenant. This new arrangement God was making with mankind was so that we could enter into his favor. More than that, we could enter into his family. The Lord's table is a memorial, not only of the physical suffering Christ endured, but a constant reminder that our relationship with God was established as a result of Christ's sacrifice. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. We remember the Lord's death because Christ instructed us to, and in so doing, we continue to be reminded of Ephesians chapter 2. For it is by grace you are saved through faith. And this, not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. The communion table is a memorial. The communion table is also a time to express our gratitude. In an age where people think so much of self, and are conscious, even suspicious, when any act of kindness is attributed to them, we see a complete reversal of this human response when we look at Jesus Christ. He was not thinking of himself. He was doing the Father's will. He was not concerned about his getting, but giving himself so to offer to us what we could not purchase. Praise the Lord. In verse 24, and when he had given thanks. Have you ever wondered what Jesus was giving thanks for at that moment? Was it for the nourishment that was in the bread? Was it the amazing plan of the Father's will? Was it that this hour was soon upon him? Was it for the lives of his followers? I don't know. Maybe all of these. But I am reminded of what Hebrews 12, the first two verses of that chapter, says. Therefore, since we are surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Is this not speaking of the joy of providing salvation for the world? And in doing so, being found obedient to the will of the Father? Jesus gave thanks as we too come to the Lord's table. It is such a natural thing for us to come with hearts overflowed with thanksgiving. Thanks for the love of God, who brought salvation to mankind. Thanks to Jesus, who prayed, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Who knew what he was praying for at that point? Jesus was so committed to the Father that he knowingly walked the road to Jerusalem to be persecuted, tortured, and killed. Thanks to the Lord for the fullness of his forgiveness. Listen to David's testimony in Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in those whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away, through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquities. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And David rejoiced. Thank the Lord for the new life that has come to us through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Eternal life and glory, yes, but also blessings of today. Praise the Lord for his goodness to us, even today. The Lord's table is also a proclamation. In verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. When we take the elements of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the grape juice, we first proclaim Christ's death in our hearts. That is the first response, as we acknowledge, but for the love, grace, and mercy of God, we would all be condemned as sinners without defense. But also, as we participate in the Lord's table, we proclaim our faith to one another. Somewhat like baptism in a way. As we partake of communion, we are testifying to others that we are the Lord's. What about children participating in communion? Is it right or wrong? If they have entered into a clear experience of salvation, then they ought to be welcomed to the table, for that is the only requirement to participate in communion, if we are trusting wholly and fully in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our direction to our children was, when you have publicly testified of your faith before the church family in baptism, that is a clear indication that they should be participating in the communion table. The Lord's table is a silent yet loud prophetic statement. Again, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. When we gather at the Lord's table, we don't only acknowledge his cruel and awful death, but we also acknowledge his resurrection, his glorification, his power over death. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at 54, reads, "When the perishable puts on imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." But also in observing the Lord's table, we acknowledge his glorious return. We are instructed to gather and remember the Lord's death in this way. But we are to do that until he comes, until he returns. And we are gathered not to partake of the Lord's table, but to partake of the marriage feast of the Lamb. John 14, verses 2 and 3 reads, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." The promise of the Lord's return is repeated many times in God's word. People who love to count these things say that there are 318 references to Christ's second coming. 23 out of the 27 books of the New Testament refer to it. For every prophecy of Christ's first coming, there are 8 prophecies regarding his second coming. God's word is clear that Jesus has promised to return. And as we observe the Lord's table, he has instructed us, as we remember his death, we look to his return. And the final thing I want to draw to your attention this morning is that as we observe the Lord's table, it is also a time of self-examination. Verses 27 to 29 of 1 Corinthians 11. "Whoever therefore shall eat of the bread and drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." This is talking about the manner or the attitude in which we come to the Lord's table. It is true in ourselves, none of us are worthy to participate in the Lord's table. None of us are even worthy to be his follower, his disciples. Like John the Baptist, who said he was unworthy to even undo his shoe. So as we respond to this invitation to come to the Lord's table, we are to come in an appropriate manner, with a deep sense and awareness of our own sinfulness, of our need of a Savior, our viewing and celebrating Jesus as our Redeemer. It is in Christ that we participate in the Lord's table. We understand that the Corinthians ate the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. As a feast, they were filling their stomachs, resulting in gluttony and drunkenness. They made little distinction between the Lord's table and a common meal. They showed privilege and partiality to one another. And for that, they were judged by God. 1 Corinthians 11:30 to 32 says, "That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves, truly we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." So as we come to the Lord's table, we are to examine ourselves, not others. We are to examine ourselves. Our attitude ought to be humble as forgiven sinners. Our motive, the reason why we come, not that we deserve it, but that we are invited. We come in amazement of God's demonstration of love, giving his only begotten Son. We come in praise and thanksgiving for Jesus and his sacrificial death that washes us whiter than snow. So what is the Lord's table? Well, it is a memorial. It is an expression of gratitude. It is a proclamation of his sacrificial death. It is a prophetic reminder of his return. And it's a time for self-examination, that we come as a sinner who's been redeemed. Wow. What an amazing invitation. And that invitation is extended to everyone who is professing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you, humbled and yet delighted that we have the invitation to come into your presence. But as we look at this passage, we see that we have an invitation, in fact, even instruction, to remember that amazing gift of your Son in such a way. Lord, thank you. Thank you for such a relationship that we have with you. Thank you that you are our God. You are the creator of all that is. You are the sustainer of everything, and yet you are our God. We are your people. We do not say that in boast. We say that humbly, yet with great gratification. We are yours. Thank you for the opportunity we have to enjoy your presence, to know that you are with us always. Thank you for the knowledge that you desire to work in us. You desire to work through us, that we can make a difference in our families and in our communities and our job sites, because we are your children. We are your ambassadors. We are witnesses of your good and perfect blessing. And so as we come to the Lord's table, as we prepare ourselves to participate in this remembrance, Lord God, be pleased, be honored, be glorified. May our hearts rejoice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.